This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
He's trained all week. He's only had a few sessions, though, but he seems in good nick and seems fit enough. So he's certainly put himself up for selection, which is a good thing for everybody.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. This is David Michael. That is Chris Bird.
Hello.
And welcome to Something for the Weekend, Easter special. As we get up to speed for Villa's return after the international break. How are you, Mr. Bird? Are you rule of six in? I've found that I haven't got six friends anymore to rule of six. I've lost them all in the pandemic.
I'm still going out as a rule of one. I prefer my own company, frankly.
This is why we do the podcast, just to talk to each other. What a sorry state of affairs. Right, in Something for the Weekend, this is just a short and sharp podcast to catch up on the week's events. If you want to listen to the main show, we haven't played since it, so it is episode 141 for the full My Old Man Said podcast experience. So don't be judging it on this show because it's only a quick 15 minutes or so. Right, anyway, on Something for the Weekend, this is the second show. We are bringing it to you after Dean Smith's presser for the Fulham game. So we'll be catching up on all the fallout from the international break, which it's all been pretty positive on a Villa front anyway. But to get all the context of what's been happening in the Villa week, here is that week in a Villa minute. 3, 2, 1, give me that minute.
A week full of training for Jack Grealish is the headline of the Villa week. Courtney Hawes is back too, while Wesley continues to get his match fitness back with the under-23s. In the Baz and Wes striking duo. Bertrand Traore scores for Burkina Faso and Trezeguet was also in action for Egypt in the African Cup of Nations qualifiers. Both finished top of their qualifying groups. Watkins and Mings both sit on the bench for England against Albania and Poland as England begin their Qatar World Cup campaign with a hat-trick of wins. After McGinn did something earlier in the international break that Dean Smith says he's never seen him do before, an overhead kick, the Scotsman scores another two goals for Scotland, albeit against the Faroe Islands, proving he's really Villa's secret weapon if he's played in the right position. Mili Jedinak returns from the jungle to look after loan players alongside new emerging talents, Adam Henshaw, who joins after being head of talent identification at Doncaster. Smith states we're now pretty much at full strength with even big man back very soon, Wesley, for the final 10 games. So one question remains. Can Grealish's return inspire yet another 10-game winning streak?
Okay, I don't know. Or okay, I don't know.
Okay, the hard no.
Okay, hopefully. Right, Dean Smith, very happy in the press conference to obviously have Grealish back in the fold. I think in that interview he did the day before, he suggested they knew that Fulham was the game most likely. You know, you obviously factor in the buffer of the international break. It's a bit of insurance, isn't it, that a player will be properly fit.
Well, it buys you time, doesn't it?
Yeah, but the initial reaction was, oh, yeah, I'll be back in 2 weeks. So, you know, it's just an example of the white lies that football clubs tell just to keep the opposition on tender hooks more than anything else, really, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Thank you very much for listening. The only other thing in terms of injuries, Courtney Horse is back in full-time training. I would imagine because he wasn't in the lineup in the under-23s game against Wolves that he possibly will be on the bench for the Fulham game.
You would think so. He kind of had his stint, didn't he, over the Christmas period where he came back into the team and did pretty well and then was unlucky to drop out. I think he was one of the lads who was hit a little bit harder by COVID, wasn't he? And then he got the injury, so he'll be sort of wanting to make up for lost time.
Yeah, but I'm talking about in terms of fitness, because he did play in mm-hmm. that game behind closed doors, and the fact that he's not playing in the under-23s game suggests that he's probably on the bench. He would probably displace Taylor, because he gives you that left-back and centre-back coverage, so he's a bit more of a useful squad member in that respect.
I would say so.
There's maybe room on the bench for Taylor. I don't know if we have that strength in depth just yet, but if you're doing like-for-like, it would probably be for Taylor. I think the main celebration at Bodymore was Ollie Watkins coming back, having scoring, because it's almost like he's gone up another level, even though it's probably cost Villa a few quid in the add-ons department to Brentford. That's one thing in terms of confidence. I think it's a big thing for Ollie Watkins because he's now in the Villa team as an England international. So hopefully with Grealish coming back, which helps him out big time as well, we should see him spark into life. I mean, the likes of Grealish and Watkins, I still think they have to perform in these last 10 games. I mean, Watkins especially, I think he'll need a few goals to get in that England team. You know, he'll have to do above par to get in the England team. Well, I still think Grealish needs to do to prove that he's a match winner. And, you know, we'll get onto that in a sec, to really cement his place rather than just being, you know, there because, you know, he does some fancy things. You know, we're talking about tournament football. So if he's getting Villa over the line in some of these remaining games and proving to be the difference, then that's going to help him big time in terms of that final squad selection for England.
Yeah, I think he'll make the squad for England, whether or not he starts or not is kind of open to debate. Some people sort of demand he has to start. I think there's probably a place for him, but it's how Southgate wants to play. Watkins, on the other hand, I think he's had an opportunity. They've had a look at him. They like the look of him. It's whether or not he, you know, once they whittle it down and they get in, you know, he can become a member of the squad that he thinks we really need to take him with us to this tournament at the moment. I think he just wants to have a look at him, and it's a bit of a 50-50 for Watkins.
So in terms of looking at Fulham, I think the good news is Watkins and Mings, they got that, you know, they got that bit of action against San Marino, and then they sat out the next two games. When you compare it to McGinn, where Scotland were working him like a cart horse,
so 270 minutes plus stoppage time of action
across all three games. Does that already put in an inbuilt excuse for McGinn? Oh, well, you know, he's tired because of those. We can't carry passengers. So if he starts, he's got to be there.
Although I would say with McGinn that potentially you could make the argument that he might have played himself into some form. He seems to have been a player with Villa traditionally that you get him up to speed by him playing games, and he's kind of not been playing particularly well of late in the Villa shirt. Was actually saved his best form recently for Scotland, so hopefully he's got to coming back, you know, confident, full of beans, and thinking, yeah, do you know what, I'm playing well here.
Yeah, I think you bang on there in terms of giving him that spark back, and it's, you know, it's perfect timing, and you know, adrenaline and confidence does compensate a lot for fatigue and can keep it at the door in certain respects.
It just gives him a bit of momentum, doesn't it? Which is actually something that Villa have lacked for a while. But, you know, a fit McGinn with match sharpness and a bit of momentum and confidence, etc., can only be a good thing.
Yeah, I don't know about the travelling logistics of Trezeguet and Traore, whether that will play into the hands of El Ghazi getting the nod in terms of starting at least.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly,
we'll have to see on that. Anything else from the international break? I think the headline was North Macedonia, who only just came into, well, they changed their name, didn't they? I think like 2 years ago to North Macedonia. Because when England have played them, it's always been Macedonia. But that win against Germany was... They actually had some reasonably decent results in the last 10 years. They were starting to become, let's say, a 3 out of 5 kind of level team.
Mm-hmm.
On their day. So that was a great result against Germany, winning 2-1 away.
Yeah, I think it showed as well. You could see that there were a few quite big teams who had a little bit of a stumble, as you often get early in the qualifying rounds. And I think other teams are just, they're just not quite at their best yet. But, you know, come tournament football, I'm sure you'll see the usual faces.
Yeah, I think England did well to dig out that win against Poland, actually, even though Poland were out without Lewandowski. The knives were getting sharpened at 1-1 for Southgate and Stones.
Yeah, I mean, I quite like Stones. I think it can only be a good thing for England moving forward that Stones has got his form back.
Yeah, but he pulled it out of the bag. Moving on, just one more shout out to the USA beating Northern Ireland.
And didn't the Republic of Ireland lose to, who was it they lost to?
Luxembourg. Yeah, Luxembourg. We've got nothing against the Republic of Ireland. We're just mentioning that Northern Ireland because of Phil Shaw, obviously.
Although Stephen Davis got his 126th cap, didn't he? So he's a record holder now.
GB record holder, well done to him. Sure. Going into this Fulham game, just quickly, while we're not really a preview show, we'll just go over some the big facts. I mean, in terms of 2021, Villa and Fulham have the same points, 15 points. Villa have played one less game. But it is quite interesting when you do look at the form in 2020, because, I mean, take, for example, the defence. Fulham they've conceded 15 goals in that time. So they're conceding like one a game. And Villa have actually conceded more in less games with 16. So Fulham's defence is actually better than Villa in terms of goals conceded in 2021. And that's the one thing that we've kind of prided ourselves on that is still going right, because it's pretty much on par to what we were doing in late 2020 as well. So the defence hasn't gone south like our forwards have done. You start to get worried about how exciting this game's going to be, because Fulham's also got the third lowest amount of goals scored in 10. Villa are only one better off with 11. And in those 15 games Fulham have played this year, there's been 6 draws. So you can already read into why Fulham have started to recover. It's just because they're a lot more solid now defensively, which was how we got out of jail last season. So I think it's time for Mr. This is a game that Grealish, I think it's going to be a tight game. And Grealish could be the difference here if he turns up.
I think so. I mean, I think Fulham are obviously, they've got a little bit of momentum, haven't they? Or certainly have. I think the international break probably came at a good time for us as we were on the downward. They were on an upward curve, and it might have lost a little bit of their momentum. Who knows? Certainly the pundits see it as being a tight game.
Yeah, in terms of Grealish cementing his place in the England setup, these are the kind of games, if he's the man that gets us over the line, because it will be tight, then that's the kind of player that an international boss kind of wants. But, you know, more importantly, we need to start kind of winning games again, because the key thing is we've got to end this season looking like a team going in the right direction, because you've got players you want to keep, you've got players you want to attract, and you've got to keep the improvement going forward rather than, are we now into a period where we just consolidate, you know, our position in the league? Because I don't believe in that. I think the way we are set up with the owners we have, it's all about improvement. It's like compound interest. It's improvement upon improvement.
I think so. Smith sort of said in his pre-match, didn't he, that he's given the players a target that has been set, and now they know what they're working towards. Now, we don't know what that target is, but, you know, he's been quick to shut down the talk of Europe, but they're probably thinking, well, where could we realistically in terms of positions or points finish? And it keeps, as you've said a few times, you want to keep the season alive, allow yourself to have something to play for going into the last couple of games. You never know then. You know, if you're within touching distance, say, of seventh, and you could have an outside chance of sneaking into Europe, it would make for a amazing end to the season. Whereas the bare minimum, I think, is you want to finish at least where you are now and consolidate being a top 10 side.
Yeah, well, I think it's also about performances, which is the key thing. Because, you know, if the season stopped now and we start a new season, I'm sorry, but we are not starting that season as the team that finished 2020 when we were, you know, sexy football, very good. Because, you know, the recent evidence is 2021, so we will be carrying on that. And that's the danger here. It doesn't really matter where we finish. It's about performances. And because if you're suddenly playing and, creating chances, dominating games, and there's just a couple of missing things that you need, I don't know, maybe you need another finisher or whatever, then you can buy that and then fix that in the summer window and off you go with confidence that, yep, I think we've addressed the problem. But at the moment, we've got wholesale problems in terms of the midfield mix going forward and obviously being clinical. So that's what we're hoping for here. I mean, my concern about the Fulham game is Fulham have only got 8 games left. So that focuses their mind totally because they're fighting relegation. So they're going to have that extra bit of, let's say, desire for this game. And that makes it difficult because if we are that team that's just happy to float out the season there in mid-table, then we become a prime game for the likes of Fulham to try to get 3 points from.
Well, traditionally, if you're struggling in the bottom three, the games you want at the end of the season are the mid-table teams with nothing to play for.
Yeah.
As we found with, you know, Palace, for example, and Everton last year. Well, and Arsenal to a certain extent.
Yeah, I mean, we got a nice slate of teams actually in mid-table last season with nothing really to play for.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a problem with the Premier League, though, because of the imbalance of the status quo. And the top four are normally the top four. Maybe there's a fifth team that's got a chance of scraping in at the end. And the relegation battle doesn't really extend across many teams nowadays. So there is a lot of mid-table teams with nothing to play for. So it is hard to keep it going. Mitrovic for Fulham managed to break the Serbian all-time scorer tally, which was you know, it's pretty good considering his age as well. So he'll probably be fired up for this game and always gives them a shout, I think.
Well, he's a good finisher. He's a good finisher.
He's kind of the opposite of Keenan Davis. When you remember when I was talking to him,
streak.
He's got that nasty streak. He's got that I don't know, that desire that in his personality, which I think is the difference between Keenan Davis being, you know, a real striker at this level, because, you know, he's got attributes, Keenan Davis. I just think it's the mentality. And Mitrovic is kind of the opposite end of that spectrum, and he always gives you a tough game. Right, anything else to add to this before we disappear?
Well, hopefully we can get, you know, our second wind and enjoy the last, you know, few weeks of the season.
Yeah, I mean, people have noticed the last time Grealish came back from let's call it a long-term, mid-term injury, not as long as last time, but it's certainly over a month, was when we were, the season was over, wasn't it? We were
written it off.
But no, I mean, even the club had, I mean, I actually told the club that it, because we were meant to have a fan consultation group meeting, I remember. And I think because we were having one after that West Brom game, and they were putting in the date in the diary to speak to Purslow at the end of the season. And they put a date in before the end of the season. And I said, whoa. I said, you know, we still don't know where we've finished yet. And, you know, the club rep there said, well, come on, it's unlikely we're going, you know, we're not getting promoted or anything. So, and I said, no, but you should have a meeting with Purslow knowing what division we're in, because it's a different conversation. If we're promoted, we're having a different conversation to if we're still in the bloody same old league.
And the mom's boys got it right.
Well, I mean, I was just saying, you know, just let's just side on the air of caution, because I thought we'd fucked it up. But, you know, while it's still mathematically possible. So, hey, here we are again. Grealish comes back. There's 10 games to play. The fixture list's a bit harder. I mean, instead of Rotherham, you've got Manchester City. So, I don't know. But this is where reputations are earned. So
they
who
are.
Knows? Watkins scores a goal a game in the last 10 games. Grealish inspires wins. And we fly into Europe and they're starting for England. Who knows what could happen? Right, let's leave before we get even more delirious. Next week, something for the weekend will be on the Friday before a 3 p.m. kickoff against Liverpool, which when's the last time that ever happened?
Well, it shows how both teams have...
How the mighty have fallen.
How the mighty have fallen. Oh, God, 3 o'clock on a Saturday.
Yeah, that's like the dregs, isn't it, that nobody wants to watch...
Yeah, God, it's definitely not a top-of-the-table clash anymore, like it was at the start of the season.
It's a shame we can't go to that, because I'd love to go to Villa-Liverpool 3 p.m. on a Saturday.
I mean, I did quite enjoy the last Sunday at 7-1, though, to be honest.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, there is that. It's a good way to finish one week and start the other. Don't forget to listen to the main show, episode 141, and the next episode will be coming to you early next week after the Fulham game. So please do subscribe on Spotify, Apple, and wherever else you get your podcasts from. And also, if you want to follow us on the designated Twitter address, it's at My Old Man Said. My personal one is at Old Man Said. So there is a difference. There is two accounts. And also you can join the Mad Few Facebook group as well, which is dedicated to listeners of the show. So check out the link on the show notes for that as well. Right. Until next week, thank you very much for listening. And it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.